Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Michael Santamaro. I am delighted to be here today, humbled by the presence of noted California historian Kevin Starr, delighted to be joining old friends and dear friends of the San Francisco Swedenborgian Church, especially Reverend Lee, Jim Lawrence, and not the least, Ted Bosley, of course, not the least, John Gall, who I adore.
Here, here.
It is hard to imagine that it has been 10 years since I stood before our congregation and asked if the cane chairs that you are sitting on feel a little bit more comfortable, or maybe a little less uncomfortable. If the music, hard to imagine, but if the music sounded just a little bit better than it usually does, and if the sermon maybe resonated more than it usually does. Because on that day was the day that we announced that this church had become a National Historic Landmark. 10 years later, we still enjoy another special day at this little church. No matter how many times you walk through those doors, it provides such a special spirit, and it never, never, ever ceases to amaze me. My family, my wife Linnell, Giovanna is here, my daughter and son, we just lived right around the corner here on Washington Street. And we called this place our special spiritual home for almost 20 years. We moved from this beautiful neighborhood a few years ago, continue to live in San Francisco, a city clamorous with the sounds of breaking and building. A place where it seems we have always had this historical urge to change our character. The city seems to be constantly debating this change of character. We move at such a fast pace here, it seems we never have time to look back. How nice that today, though, we can look back and be grateful that this little church does exist as it was first conceived by its visionary minister, almost exactly as when it was built in 1895. There can be no debating the beauty and timelessness of this beautiful church. So what I'd like to do is maybe tell you just a quick story about the National Historic process and how we achieved that in 2004. That the story begins almost 6 years earlier through the vision of then-minister Reverend Jim Lawrence, who recognized very early the historical significance of this building complex, not only to the city of San Francisco, the state of California, but really to the history of this country. Like its first truly collaborative visionary minister and significant figure in San Francisco history, Joseph Wooster, Jim brought many of us together to recognize the significance and help guide us through a very collaborative process to increase our own recognition of the church's history and importance as one of our nation's most important properties within the context of its architectural and its cultural history. Working very closely with Architectural Resources Group, one of the preeminent architectural historical firms in the United States located here in San Francisco, we researched and developed the story of why this church held such significant and historical importance. Through the efforts of then Bruce Judd, who was ARG's chairman emeritus, some of their tireless staff, we created the case study that posited the story that this place should be recognized on a national level, not just as a city or a state landmark. The study was presented to the National Park Service, which is part of the Department of the Interior, for their review and consideration in 1999. Today, we still look to ARG as our friend and an advisor. We count David Wessel, who's their director, as a current member of our family. Starting the process during one presidential administration, moving into another, one budgeting process to another, landmark recognition did progress ever so slowly. The events of September 2001 also had a profound way of realigning priorities landmarking buildings not necessarily being one of those priorities. But with a great deal of persistence and a great deal of passion on both the local and national level, we were finally given our opportunity on September 11th, 2003, to present our case before the Department of the Interior Landmark Commission. On that day, John Gall, my 10-year-old son at the time, John Michael, and I traveled to Washington, D.C. to participate in the Landmark Commission hearings. The hearings were held at the Pamela Harriman House on the grounds of beautiful Mount Vernon in Virginia. And joining the Swedenborgian Church that day for recognition was a Navajo tribal burial site from New Mexico. I think there were two significant Frank Lloyd Wright houses from Oak Park, Illinois, and the United States Air Force Academy, the Philip Johnson-inspired United States Air Force Academy, who that year was planning on celebrating their 50th anniversary. Glowing recommendations on our behalf were offered up by Commission member Dr. Richard Guy Wilson, Dean of the University of Virginia School of Architectural History, an advisor and a great friend of this Swedenborgian church. No decisions were made that day, but we were very confident in the outcome. That decision was to come 1 year later on August 18th, 2004, when the Department of the Interior of the United States bestowed one of its highest honors, the San Francisco Swedenborgian Church, a National Historic Landmark. This obscure little house of worship joined the iconic cable cars in San Francisco, Alcatraz Island, the Presidio, as a property that possesses exceptional value and quality in illustrating and interpreting the heritage of the United States. Today, there are fewer than 2,500 such historic places in the United States that bear this distinct honor. In San Francisco, it is the only house of worship that is the National Historic Landmark. So in closing, I'd like to thank everyone for joining us today. Tell you that I believe, and many of us believe, that this building is worthy of preservation. It has an attachment to San Francisco that exists not only in our memories, but definitely in our futures. It has a history that is worth remembering and a legacy that is worth honoring and celebrating. Thank you.